The secret to a sustainable productivity is to find the things that we are trying to do a little bit more fun. With that, hello and welcome to Customer Engagement 101 podcast, brought to you by Upshot.ai, where we talk to experts and leaders in the field of gamification, retention, and much more. I am Kaustav, and today we have Krishna Chaitanya, who brings in more than 5 years of experience when it comes to helping customers deal with their greatest nightmares. And that is retaining their customers. We are both big-time game enthusiasts, and today we'll be talking about how you can kickstart your gamification journey, what kind of mistakes you could avoid, and discuss some of the success stories of the top companies that could make this entire process easier for you. So welcome, Casey, to our podcast. It's so good to have you back. How are you doing today?
Hey, Kaustav. Thanks for inviting me. It's great to be back. I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great, Casey. So let's just jump right into it. What are the first signs that a company needs gamification, Casey?
Adoption gaps. So if you feel that you've made a product and if the people are not using it as you would like them to use, that's a perfect sign that something is not happening as it should. So you should take a look at gamification.
So how does a brand identify the problem areas to be solved using gamification?
So like I said, you know, adoption is an excellent starting point. The reason being, that's what you made the product for, right? So there is no better problem than adoption to solve, in my opinion. So that's a very good starting point for you to seriously consider recruiting any help, right? And I consider gamification as one of those helpers to solve this problem.
Right. But then why choose gamification? Aren't there like other strategies that help you achieve these goals like adoption and stuff?
Certainly. Of course, there are other strategies. And let's talk about one of the most common ones,
sure.
Which is sending reminders and notifications.
Mm.
And it's pretty frequent. It's done all over the world. If this works for that particular team that's doing it, it's awesome, right? But in most cases, my experience tells me that it's the human motivation angle which is missing or which is lacking, right? And it may or may not have been factored into the product making process, right? And if that is indeed the problem, I don't know how notifications are supposed to help.
Okay.
And the second point that I would like to talk about is we ourselves are users of mobile apps. Let's be honest, right? What's the treatment we give to all those notifications that land on our smartphones?
We just remove it.
Clear all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a life savior for us, but it hurts the companies.
Of course.
Right? So, and that's the brutal truth, and it's obvious. So if we consider all these angles, the lack of human motivation and, Android and iOS making it increasingly easy to dismiss notifications,
right?
You have the perfect recipe for something other than notifications, something beyond. I would say that is why we should look at gamification as one of those ways to introduce a lot of pull into the equation where push is kind of running into problems.
All right. So suppose if a company realizes they are interested in gamification, they naturally start thinking about the tech and expertise where they are going to come from.
Right.
Any pointers on that?
This is a classic build or buy decision, Kaustav.
Right.
If the only choice is they build all the expertise themselves internally, they hire experts and grow it internally. And coming to the tech, they have to build the tech internally.
Right.
Now, I don't know how this is easy, given the fact that the companies that are interested in gamification are also not very sure if that works or not. So if you don't have a clear idea of how the ROI is going to be, you would not like to invest so much money in building internal expertise or building internal technology.
Right.
And this is where the buy option is certainly a viable one.
Mm-hmm.
There are experts. Increasingly, there are gamification experts available. Just go to LinkedIn and type gamification and see how many people show up. And some of them are really, really awesome. They have done great work. and also technology, right? And that's what Upshot is all about.
Okay.
We are one of those companies where we pack the guidance as a result of our expertise with the technology that we provide. And we are committed to enhancing this kind of plug-and-play gamification technology and putting more power in the hands of app companies.
Okay, okay. So do you think having a tailor-made gamification strategy is important?
I would say yes. And the reason is that context is king, history is king.
Of course.
And this is unique. The context and history are very unique for every app. Right? Your industry is different, your user base is different. What has happened in your app, between your app and your users so far, which is the history part, right? That is also different. The level of exposure that your users have had to your app, that is different. When all of these things are so unique to your app, right? There is no universal solution there. So I would agree that there is a certain amount of tailor-made strategy that's necessary. But just so that, you know, people who listen to this are not scared outright, I'm also a big believer in starting small, right?
Okay.
Don't think of this as gamification. Think of it as a new thing.
Okay.
And if it's a new thing, you don't jump into it, right? You would rather start small. You would conduct some small experiments, cost-effective experiments. Look at two things. One is a very obvious thing. Is it impacting your end users? The second very unusual thing is, are you liking the whole idea of doing it yourself?
Mm.
And this might sound strange, but let's be honest, right? Product managers are also people.
Of course.
Even they would like to have fun in the whole job of trying to make something fun for their end users.
Of course.
Right? Yeah. So why overlook that? They also need a sense of growth, of trying new things, of feeling accomplished, of learning a lot, right, in their quest to gamify the app experience for their users. So the best thing is you start small, you do stuff that makes you comfortable and makes your end users happy, and slowly you take it to the next level.
Right. Do you have any stories that you want to share on this aspect, like, has any company ever come to you and...
Yeah, see, every time we onboard a new client at Upshot, initially there's a tremendous amount of excitement, but I do my best to channelize that excitement in a sort of a sequence, because I don't want any of us to fail. So rather than thinking of how do we succeed, sometimes I find it humorous that I think in the lines of how not to fail.
Okay. Right?
And it unlocks a lot of ideas if you think of it that way, because you suddenly become careful and conscious about, okay, I don't want to try too many things.
Okay.
I want to build confidence in the concept. I don't want an all or nothing approach to it. So we try really hard with our clients to identify the 1, 2, 3 small things that can be done quickly. Right, and once they see the gamification activity take off and show certain results, it suddenly calms their nerves. Okay, and it's a big moment for them because they've tried something and it sort of shows the promise, right? And that gives them the confidence to go on another round of experimentation. And this is, in fact, how we work with every single client of ours. There's not one client where we have taken a big bang approach.
Okay.
Because I, for one, I'm scared of that. Even if I am in their place, I would be scared of committing a lot at one go. So if I am scared, why not they? They would probably be scared too, right?
Makes sense. So what do you think is the difference between overt and subtle gamification?
Okay, so this is a very nice topic to talk about, because let's do this. So if it looks like a game, right, if it feels like a game, it's overt.
Okay.
Right. if it's got stuff dropping across the screen and too many colors and there is sound and there is movement, in other words, if it looks like a game, it's overt. Otherwise, it's subtle, right? That's a very simple way to think about it. For some businesses, overt is fine because that's the nature of their industry. There's a high level of tolerance both inside the company and with the end users to have something that looks like a game. Right? But there are many other businesses where overt is a big no-no. It's a big no-no because they're extremely uncomfortable with something that looks like a game. But here's where I say you don't have to throw out the baby with the bathwater, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to take an all or nothing approach. So chuck the overt part, right? But you go for the subtle part. And to be able to do that, I argue that you really need to have a strong grip on the very essence of gamification. And it is about influencing people using their own intrinsic and extrinsic motivations. Never does it say it has to look flashy. But the essence is you tap into the motivations of people, and if you do it visually, that's all right. But there are ways to do it non-visually also.
Right.
So I say certainly that these two are very different and people should be sensitive to that difference. So it's a great question.
Right. So we see a lot of companies, they use your in-your-face gamification and some use very subtle gamification. So how does a company figure out what kind of strategy they should go ahead with?
I like the term in your face. Right, it's another way to think of
it. Very prevalent nowadays.
Yeah, I know, and it's a very funny way of saying overt.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take two communities that are involved in gamification. The first community is the end users. Right? Now if your app is internal, the end users are your employees or partners.
Okay.
If the app is external, then your end users are outside the company. They are consumers. I can promise you one thing, Kaustav, and it is that employees or consumers never say no to something that is fun and something that has got that little flavor of competition or contest or community, all the usual things that go to make a game such engaging experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
People never say no to that stuff, the end users. Let's come to the other community involved in the entire process, and that's the executives, the people who sanction the project, the people who fund the project. Now, they may have their own ideas on what is okay and what is not okay, right? And suppose if they, some of them may even object to that overt in-your-face gamification. Mm-hmm. And I say, we are no one to object to their objections, right?
I mean, you ask for it.
Yeah. But I always take that friction as the starting point of a conversation. If somebody is uncomfortable with something, it's really good to understand why, right? And to bring it out into the open and not let it just spoil the whole initiative. So I would say it's a great chance to have a discussion and explore ways to gamify within the threshold and within the comfort of the decision makers. Right? If you ask me, the thumb rule that I would simply say is 99% times subtle works beautifully. It works wonders for both the decision makers of the company and the end users. So
right.
Subtle should really be what we should aim for.
So Casey, what are some of the examples that you have seen where companies who go ahead and use excessive gamification and companies who have just like kept it very subtle?
Okay, so I don't know of products that do excessive gamification because probably they didn't make it.
That's one way to put it.
But there are companies who have done it fairly overtly.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and people have accepted it. Cred comes to my mind.
Oh, nice.
They have these jackpots.
Right.
And you know, obviously, I don't have access to their internal metrics or how the initiative is helping them. But I certainly find it pretty slick myself And when I've spoken with other people, they also agree that it's really well done. Similarly, Google Pay, the scratch cards, and the build the home and those kind of initiatives, they are pretty, you can see that they are kind of like a game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they do all right. So these are examples of well done gamification in an overt way.
Mm-hmm.
And subtle, of course, there are LinkedIn is a good example of subtle gamification.
Right.
Facebook, in fact, Yukai Chow in his Octalysis framework,
mm-hmm.
he cites examples of gamification which are very subtle.
Can you tell us how LinkedIn has used gamification?
How?
How LinkedIn has used gamification?
So LinkedIn uses concepts that push you forward towards greater adoption. For instance, it's important for your profile to be complete because LinkedIn will then know more about you,
mm-hmm.
and help you maybe connect you better with different people, give better suggestions on whom to network with. In other words, it is trying to get to know more about you so that it can make it a better experience for you,
right?
And richer experience. So it has the profile completion progress bar,
mm-hmm.
and it tells you that this is what you should do next. Maybe you should upload an example of your work, and there is that percentage completion.
Okay.
So it's a very simple way to tell people that you are this far from having a fully baked profile.
Right.
Another example of gamification in LinkedIn, and this is very subtle, is they will tease you with, when you go to the notification feed, right, tray, mm-hmm. they'll tease you with things like three people looked at your profile, right? Now, look at how inviting it is.
Mm-hmm.
You really want to know who those people
who's
are.
Who's stalking right? you?
Who is, well, you can put it that way. But don't you really want to know who those people are who are looking at your profile?
Every single day.
Yeah. And it is it taps into a universal motivation. Who is interested in me?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So we want to know the answer to that question. It's a powerful question.
Right.
And so when we attempt to click on that and find out who, sometimes it tells us, other times it says you've got to be I don't know what it's called, the LinkedIn professional
premium.
You must be a premium subscriber of LinkedIn in order to satisfy your curiosity, and otherwise you'll have to settle for the teasers that it throws your way.
There will be like very beautifully triggered behavioral sciences into this, right?
Yes.
Like how do you, yeah. So once you have figured out that this is the strategy that you want to go ahead with, how do you convince your stakeholders or your management? What are some of the challenges that you face on a day?
Right. So it's a fairly standard way of convincing stakeholders with respect to gamification. I don't think it's that different for gamification, although it is different in some ways. You look at it like, how do I convince my stakeholders to offer me support on pretty much any new initiative, first of all? There's a fairly standard way to go about it. For example, you make sure that the problem that you are trying to solve is openly acknowledged by everyone, including those on the stakeholder committee or the group. So as we discussed so far, if adoption gaps are obvious to you, they should be obvious to them also. There should be no difference on this. Because once the problem has been acknowledged, people are now ready to explore solutions. Until then, if directly someone presents something as a solution, there is not enough appreciation for what is it being told to me for.
Mm.
So first, I need to know the problem. If I'm one of the stakeholders, I need to know the problem and I need to acknowledge that this is serious enough that I am willing to explore multiple approaches first. Second, you obviously start listing out all the different solutions. And you go one by one, including those that you have already tried and what kind of success they have given you so far, right? What's the quantum of success you have received from each of those techniques? And then, of course, you bring up gamification as one of the ways that you are yet to explore. Because as we discussed, it's a way to tap into motivations and solve some pretty deep-seated problems that technologies like notifications are not in a place to solve without demeaning their importance.
Mm.
It's just a different problem altogether. That's all I'm saying. So here you talk to your stakeholders about this point that we have tried several technologies and several approaches, but we do believe that the problem is deeper than what we thought initially. And it may have to do with the equation between human beings and a piece of technology, right? And we might need to tap into the motivations of these end users, whether it is extrinsic or intrinsic. And that is the way we create hunger inside them to use this app. We cannot push them. We have tried and it goes only so far. So this is the way you slowly bring up the case for trying to motivate end users as opposed to notifying them.
Right.
And this sets the stage for you to then talk about how this technique has helped other companies. Right. We've already discussed some great examples. You can dig up gamification case studies. There are so many of them out there on the internet. Google Pay, Cred, Strava, the app for athletes and runners. It has done wonders with gamification. Then from the world of language learning comes Duolingo.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Extraordinary success it has had through gamification.
Yeah.
So these are not trivial examples. These are really power-packed examples and entire case studies in their own right. Right. You bring this to the notice of the stakeholders and tell them that we are not shooting in the dark. This has been tried and it has given brilliant results to companies that have done it in a certain thoughtful way.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of soothe their nerves that this is not some pie in the sky that I'm talking about, but it is well supported by the results out there. And finally, you tell them that provided this thing has been done so far, whatever we have talked about so far, if it has been done well, then the stakeholders are now at least curious, okay, how do we do this? And that's where one of the points I mentioned earlier, start small. You tell them the technology is available already. We don't need to build it. Expertise is available already. We don't need to hire it.
Yeah.
Let's find the right partner and let's begin discussing with the express intention of how do we start small and how do we build confidence and then go on to bigger and bolder experiments in gamification. I think these five steps, if somebody executes, certainly the case would be heard and it would be encouraged.
So I'm just curious, I mean, have you ever in this 5 years ever faced any backlash from the stakeholders' point of view in terms of like this is not the right step to go or like anything that is very common among stakeholders?
Yes, Kaustav, some of the times I have seen a certain resistance to some of the visual forms that we suggest. For example, we say use badges and they might not be okay with that.
Yeah.
Right? But the beauty of gamification is not badges, not points, not leaderboards. The famous acronym PBL, points, badges and leaderboards. That's not gamification. Right? Those are some of the ways gamification shows up in common experience. So we immediately take a back seat and we take a step back and we talk to those people and we tell them, let me tell you the reason for badges or the reason for reward points or the reason for this or that. If you're okay with the reason, we can always come back to the visual.
Right.
Right? And the reasons are always wonderful, motivating people. Right? When is it out of style? When is it out of fashion? It's always in fashion, right? So I think it's the whole discussion has to be structured in such a way that even if they disagree with how certain things look like, they still find agreement on the core principles and move on from that point onwards.
Right. So suppose for serious businesses who are, suppose for example, banking apps, you know, are they like a little bit more hesitant towards implementing gamification, or is it like, does that come also into a point of view that they don't want to have that kind of a game-based element aspect to their apps?
Yeah, I would say that some of them are concerned about that kind of a pretty overt approach.
Mm.
So yeah, I would certainly say that they are concerned.
Alright, so what are some of the metrics that you check on after implementing gamification?
The same metrics that were getting hurt all this while.
Mm.
So if adoption is the point which kind of pushed you into considering gamification, then look at adoption metrics. For instance, how many people have discovered the new feature in the last 1 week? How many of them are using it more than once? Stickiness reports, right? These are good metrics because they're all pointing in the direction of answering the question, is the adoption growing or not? Then there are those professionals who also look at some of the side effects of it. For example, is DAU, the daily active users number, is that on the rise? Is the monthly active user, MAU number, on the rise?
Mm.
Are people opening the app most frequently in a given duration of time? These are all indicators. So if they start moving up, then maybe you are heading in the right direction.
Okay. So I remember you mentioned Upshot earlier. So why don't you talk about Upshot a little bit on how it's helping customers gamify their apps?
Certainly. I would like to answer this not by talking about, you know, what features we offer and what capabilities we offer,
mm-hmm.
but answering it slightly differently as to what Upshot actually offers anyone who come to Upshot. Right? We look at ourselves as explainers of gamification because there are not too many people that talk about gamification outside. So we regard ourselves as explainers of gamification as well as providers or enablers of the technology.
Okay.
So that's what we think our role is in the life of a client. We bring the expertise and the technology, like you asked earlier, right? And we feel that we are really unique in this aspect because we were incubated as a SaaS platform unit inside a company known as Purple Talk.
Okay.
Right? And it's a great company when it comes to building some really nice mobile games as well as more than 850 mobile apps for some of the most innovative companies in the world, even those in the Fortune 500 list, right? It means that we really know what we're talking about with respect to what makes mobile apps good, what makes them successful, and what's the role of motivation and fun and gamification in that success. We know what we're talking about. Right? This is not something that we got like a brainwave, okay, let's start some gamification platform. This is an organic growth out of our experience as game builders and app builders. Right? So that is the background. And this gives us a lot of depth and ingenuity. Both are very useful things, right? So companies can certainly benefit a lot by talking to us because we will help them with the two things that matter the most. First, how do we design gamification for your app? Because we said context and history are the king, right? So we will make sure that whatever we are saying to each company that interacts with us is tailor-made for them. There's not going to be a copy-paste. That's guaranteed.
Okay.
And we will not only help with the technology, which we already have, and we continue to enhance it. We will even, if the client that we are working with is short on resources on their team, we in fact help them design these gamification initiatives conceptually and visually. We define that in our platform. We execute that initiative. We measure the results and we help them iterate forwards. What was good? What was not good? What should be changed? So we give the entire technology and the consulting required to make it a reality. So that's really what we offer to people who decide to work with us.
Right. So that basically answers my next question as well. Why is Upshot.ai the right fit for anybody's gamification needs?
Yeah, I would say it has answered that question. And yeah, it's rare to find a partner who is going to be a thought partner, a technology partner, and an execution partner all rolled into one.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is a one-stop shop. If you're looking for gamification for apps, you are in safe hands if you come to Upshot.
Sounds good.
So that was a really interesting session, Casey. Thank you for joining us. And to all our listeners, you can let us know in the comments what topics you want us to cover next. You could also shoot your questions directly below. And thank you for joining us. Cheers.